It's time once again for the Dash Limburger All Day, Every Day Drive Time Friday Broadcast Podcast with Dash Limburger.
Our first item in today's news, the gaming upstarts and ne'er-do-wells and so-called Savage Worlds have somehow procured the rights to make a pale, short shrift imitation of the Palladium classic, Rifts. Now I know how all you D10 heads out there are responding to this news. If the founders at Palladium had wanted their masterpiece, the Palladium system, to change, they would have included that capacity in the original documents. If Kevin Symbieda intended for the Glitter Boy to be detailed in less than 8 pages of unwarranted information about foot spike ratings and ammo drum maintenance schedules, he would have issued a decree to that effect to Kevin Long, or CJ Corella, I don't know, one of his manservants. On to business. There's a constant threat out there, people. One that could very well destroy our way of life, and yet nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody! Especially not the story game biased media that would love to see our once great hobby destroyed on the altar of balance. I am talking, of course, about the rise of diceless games. I know what you might be thinking, but Dash, what harm is there? Other games have used playing cards or other randomizers in place of dice. Well, if you'd let me finish, I'd tell you. This isn't just poker in place of rolling. I'm talking about the full exclusion of a random outcome. I'm talking about the people out there playing amber diceless like godless heathens. I tried to warn you about the laughable LARPers and their influence on our hobby, but it seems nobody listens to old Dash, even though I am demonstrably always right. Let's throw the phone lines open to you and see what you have to say about these bory game players that want to sit around telling their friends how pretty their character is instead of playing a real game. Caller, you're on with Dash Limburger.
Oh gosh, hi Dash. Long time listener, first time caller.
Wonderful. Welcome to the show. How do you feel about these diceless idiots playing pretend and calling it an RPG?
I just get so upset. You know, it's like I didn't watch my friends die face down in a puddle of gray ooze so that these players these days could run around being magical pixies or what have you, granting wishes to children. It makes me sick.
I'm glad there's still some people out there with some sense to them. We salute the brave sacrifice that you and the rest of the greatest generation of roleplayers gave to this hobby. I say if some of the players these days spent some time in the trenches of elemental evil, they'd have a better idea of what makes this hobby so great. Next caller, you're on the air with Dash Limburger.
Hey Dash, I wish more people would listen to you. Just yesterday, I saw a group of LARPers at the park. I couldn't even tell if they were having fun because they all looked so serious. I, of course, called the cops on them immediately, as per your suggestion from last week. I can't believe they could be so rude, playing like that in the open where anyone could see.
Thank you, caller. That is exactly what I've been telling you all. These parole players are trying to usurp our hobbies and throw them in our faces. They're just out there, loud and proud, instead of hiding in their basements like they should. Disgusting! Next caller, you're on the air with Dash Limburger.
Baba Booey, Howard Stern's penis!
Well said. Next caller, you're on the air with Dash Limburger.
First time listener, long time caller. I heard some guys on System Mastery say that maybe people should be able to have fun however they want.
No, God damn it. Linda! Let it get, there we go. Whoever is screening these calls, you are fired. Listeners, I am sorry you had to listen to that sick filth from an obvious degenerate. It makes me so angry we have all these entitled players nowadays. They want their fun handed to them. Fun is earned through hours of paranoid checking of traps and starting out as a dirt farmer with a dagger. Obviously, these so-called system masters haven't mastered the system of removing their heads from their backsides. We'll be back after a message from our righteous fear-mongering sponsors, where the topic will be fate, threat, or menace.
Welcome to Afterthought, the podcast companion to System Mastery, where every other week we get together and discuss topics of interest to no one. I'm Jeff, and as always, my co-host John is sitting quietly waiting for his chance to talk, which will come shortly, but not now. Hey, John, how are you? Don't answer yet. Okay, now answer.
Man, it would be amazing if we just kept going with that and I didn't actually say anything on the podcast.
Just kept interrupting. I mean, we've been pretty close before.
A little close.
Yeah, I've done a lot of talking right over you as if you weren't there. And you know what? I'm here today to apologize.
That means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
That's great. I'm glad. All right. So, as always with Afterthought, what we do is discuss briefly a little topic of interest regarding the book that we most recently covered. And John, what was that book?
Why, that would be Discworld, the role-playing game using GURPS.
Yeah, I don't even think it's called GURPS Discworld, technically. It's called, like, Discworld. And then very small in the bottom corner, it says, like,
uses the GURPS engine.
Well, they like to say powered by GURPS.
I like to say powered by GURPS. It's a fun phrase to say for the whole family.
It reminds me of when I was a Boy Scout, and there was always that one weird Boy Scout that insisted on calling the trail mix that we would all eat when we were backpacking GORP.
Well, that's weird.
No, I think it's like a... I feel like GORP is a word that some people do use for trail mix. I'm sure it stands for something.
Yeah, granola.
Orange chunks.
Raisins and peanuts.
And penis, yeah.
What's the O? Man.
Oats. Olives. Oats? Yeah, it's probably olives.
Omens.
Old boy copies of the Old Boy DVD.
Yeah, that's it. Whenever I reach into that handful of trail mix, I'm like, ooh, come on, Old Boy DVDs.
That's the good one. That's kind of like, oh, wait. Good question here. What is your favorite piece of Chex Mix?
Piece of Chex Mix?
Yeah, like when you reach into a handful of Chex Mix, what are you hoping to be the plurality of chunks in your Chex Mix?
You know, oddly enough, I'm not a huge fan of the Chex Mix because I prefer the Gardettos because specifically I want them rye chips.
Rye chips. So the little pieces of bread that are rye flavored.
Them little rye chips.
Okay, that's
also
fair enough.
Rye chips is my favorite evolution.
Yeah. From, what is it, Pika chips?
Yeah, Pika chips into rye chips.
All right. That sounds awful.
That was a dumb Pokemon joke for all of you at home.
Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway, we covered Discworld, powered by GORP.
Yeah.
And that leaves us discussing what? Do you have a topic of interest for the day?
I did. So for this time around, I wanted to discuss a little something about what makes a protagonist
in a story.
What makes
a man?
Yeah.
I think it might be the woman in his arms. Or is it his fight for glory?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what do you think it is?
It's both of those.
Oh, yeah. Do you think it might be the way that he fights every day?
No. It's probably the titties.
I'm sorry. What were you trying to say?
Now you're a man!
Man!
Man! God damn it.
Why we didn't just cut to a clip is amazing to me.
So, the Discworld book brings up a pretty decent point for, specifically in the Discworld novels, you see this a lot, but a character that is not heroic and isn't powerful or special in any way, really, that ends up being the protagonist. Now, we've gone on at length a lot about the whole, like, level one shit farmer thing where you make a character and then you're just garbage and that's terrible.
Yes.
But one of the things Discworld talks about a lot is how you can take that idea and still make that person the protagonist as long as your story incorporates that as the idea.
And I think that's definitely something where there's room for that in the industry, for games about ordinary people or stories about ordinary people faced with extraordinary situations. And I think the real difference comes down to, does the game's story support that? Does the game's narrative support that? Does the license upon which it's based support that?
Yeah, well, it's one thing when you look at a Discworld game and they tell you, all right, one, you're in the GURPS system, which is very modular for how you're going to put things onto your game. So depending on the power level or whatever, you can switch points around, you can do anything like that. But in addition to that, the whole book is about how like these everyday people can have all of these crazy circumstances around them. But if you are playing in something that's like a D&D heartbreaker, and even the level one monsters, these little kobolds, are going to beat the shit out of you if you're a standard level one character, then it ends up being that the game itself doesn't support the idea of you being an actual protagonist.
Yes, and I remember that being a big point of contention for us when we discussed WEG Star Wars, the second edition. That was the old D6 Star Wars. And if you read the book, you think, oh my gosh, I get to play this cool space hero, right? I get to be Han Solo or Luke Skywalker or Chewbacca, roam through the universe blasting stormtroopers. And then you read the book, and you can tell that was what they wanted, but they made it too hard to start. It was more like, you're going to spend your time arguing over starship repair prices with an argumentative repairman who's better at arguing than you.
Yeah, and that was the problem, is you have this setting of Star Wars, which is based around this, you know, operatic star setting where crazy sci-fi things are happening, and, you know, you can look at someone like Luke Skywalker as that sort of regular everyday Joe protagonist that then has crazy shenanigans happen to them. But as it stands in the game system, if you were to make a level one guy and then try to run him through A New Hope, you would definitely be dead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of unfair and silly. I mean, even the idea is that even Luke Skywalker himself is a great example of an ordinary person thrust into extraordinary circumstances, right? He's a moisture farmer. He's a kid. He's a whiny piece of shit at the start of A New Hope.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to do anything. He has no force powers. He's never handled a weapon. Like, the most he's done is, like,
blast womp rats.
Like, that's it.
In a T-16, which actually is a fairly impressive skill. It's a good skill to have going into the military, because a T-16 is, as far as I know, because you never see one in the movie, actually a fairly substantial fighter craft with a couple of little lasers on it that he's using to blast these 2-foot-across rats.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. So that's one thing. He's got one little cool thing, but then the story plays around him to parlay in such a way as to create this big story, this big operatic storyline about him becoming the chosen one and the major character. I don't feel like that ever would have happened in, say, for example, Stormbringer.
No. And there are some games where you can do that better than others. If you're in a game that doesn't quite have that linear progression, like any of the D&D Heartbreakers or any of the ones that specifically use levels for things to limit you.
Yeah.
Because in that way, you would just have to be handing levels out left and right as you went through a very simple adventure just to get to the point where you're like, okay, well, now you can do things.
Yeah.
Whereas before, in something like Discworld or a setting where you don't even need to get that power level, it just happens around you, that ends up being a little bit better because then you don't have to worry about, oh, my character doesn't have, you know, 500 points to make my character out of. I can't participate in this grand adventure.
Right. So are we speaking in defense of the noble shit farmer today? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that was sort of the idea that I wanted to bring up, is that it's not so much that you start as a shit farmer that is bad. Like, the idea of starting as a regular guy isn't the worst idea. It's just when you try to put that into a setting that doesn't want you to be that. Especially when it gives you options to not be that. You know, when you look at a game that has, you know, 200 skills and 5 of them are combat skills and the rest are things like underwater basket weaving, then obviously all of your points are going to go into your combat skills until you can't anymore, and then maybe you'll pick something else up.
Right.
And if you don't, if you go ahead and use the system to go, oh, I put like a point into fighting, but then I've got all these points into doing craft jewelry because my guy was originally a jeweler's apprentice. You're like, great, you're absolutely useless, though.
You know what's funny is that reminds me of a completely different topic of discussion, which is something that's very significant to Exalted players, people who are playing the White Wolf or Onyx Path game Exalted, which is that game, for whatever reason, almost uniquely among other games that are designed to be balanced engines of, like, world simulation, has a contingent of players who really want to play it without doing any combat stuff. They want to be like, I'm going to build a character who's 100% social dynamics, or I'm going to build a character who is a bureaucrat and does not like swords.
Yes.
And I'm wondering to myself, is that something that the game should support?
Well, I think for certain games, you can get away with that. I mean, even in the Discworld game, you can have an entire game about a guy who's like, oh, what are you? I'm an inventor, and I invented some weird anachronistic thing using magic or imps or whatever, and this is the consequence of it. You don't need to have the ability to fight. You don't even need to have the ability to cast spells or anything. You can get by in that adventure with just having your wits or your inventions or whatever.
Arguments with Havelock Vetinari.
Yeah, you can do that if you want. You'll
absolutely
lose if you're having an argument with Vetinari, because he will destroy you.
I don't know. Even Pratchett tends to fall victim to the no-nonsense woman being the smartest person in the universe thing, where Vimes' wife, I think.
Well, Granny Weatherwax.
Granny Weatherwax, yeah, Nanny Ogg. But also, what's her name, Sybil Vimes?
Mm.
I feel like she's another person who could just march in there and grab him by the ear and be like, listen up, Havelock Vetinari, you're going to let me raise dragons in this city. And he'll be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I think the main issue with the not having combat is it has to be something that your party agrees on.
Yeah, it's got to be more than one person.
Because if you start a Discworld game or you start an Exalted game or whatever system you're using and you go, oh yeah, we've got three guys, they all decided, you know, one made an archer and one made a fencer and one made a brawler and one guy made a singer. And he's just a singer-songwriter. He's got a guitar. He wants to tell you about this song he made about the ocean. Oh, can he like hit people with a guitar like El Cabong? No.
No, he
cannot.
He just sings. Even in Exalted, a game that is a martial art based around singing, he didn't take it.
No, he is only performance-based. And at that point, you have to look at that guy and go, man, I know you think this is an amazing character idea, but you are either going to be really sad or make everyone else really sad.
Yeah, that's something where you really need to discuss with your party before you do it. Although I do like the idea of you're making your triple threat guy who is like, oh yeah, I can act and dance and sing. You know, John, I myself am a bit of a triple threat.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I can act and then also to myself and others.
Yes. Good job. You did it. You made me laugh.
I gotcha with a joke.
you told me a joke, and then I laughed at it.
That's all I wanted in life.
So there you go. I hope that we've helped you think a little bit about what it means to be a protagonist.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. You want to answer some questions?
Oh, questions. Oh, my questions. Oh, my questions coming out the mailbag.
Man, that's a rough song you've just come up with there.
That rough song.
Some of that Huckleberry Hound level nonsense.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting that Huck Hound.
Oh, man, Huckleberry Hound was like the worst of the Hanna-Barbera.
It's true. He didn't do anything useful. He just walked around and was like, oh, I'm here now. I'm getting out of trouble or doing a thing.
We're already talking about a pit of scum at the bottom of the barrel of animation, which is all the Hanna-Barbera generic characters that they've created over the years. But even then, when you've scraped off all the scum, there's still Huckleberry Hound down there walking around singing Oh My Darling Clementine while bad things happen near him but not to him, which, as I recall, is his shtick.
Yeah, it's always just like, I'm the sheriff of this town, and then someone tries to like shoot him, but it doesn't work. And
yeah, it shoots into a drain pipe and then pops out the other side of the drain pipe and hits the shooter in the face.
Yeah, stuff like that.
And he just walks by singing Clementine still.
Yep.
He's just Droopy Dog, but worse.
Oh, yeah, because at least Droopy Dog was like very sad about everything. He'd just walk around and be like, I'm so happy.
Yeah, every once in a while he'd do that big creepy smile.
Oh, yeah.
At least he had that going for you. What does Huckleberry Hound have? He's blue, I guess. That's his He has a straw boater hat.
He makes you remember Huckleberry exists.
Yeah, Huckleberry exists because of him, I think. I think he's the founder of it or something.
Yeah, that's right. The Huckleberry Foundation, brought to you by Huckleberry Hound.
Yeah, I think he founded the Huckleberry Foundation, which brings Oh My Darling Clementine to children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, can you think of a more execrable, like, pointless Hanna-Barbera character?
No, because all of the other ones I think of, I'm like, oh, but I like that guy.
There's an octopus. I remember not caring about him in the slightest. I'd say maybe...
What, Squiddly Diddly?
Squiddly Diddly, there it is. I think maybe Gleep.
Oh, like, no. See, he immediately came to mind, but I'm like, dude, I love the Herculoids. I don't care.
The thing is, there's two of them, though.
Yeah, there's Gleep and Gloop. Gloop.
Yeah, you've already got a Gloop. You don't need a Gleep. You're good on Gleep. And also, you've already got a Bleep. I think of that blue monkey from Space Ghost. So
Gleek.
Gleek. Thank you. So we're set on things that say eek or leak in the title. I think bleeps or gleeps just unnecessary.
Yeah, maybe.
So,
but I like him.
Okay.
So that's fine.
All
I'll
right.
keep him around.
Why are we talking about that? Oh, wait, because I brought it up.
It's yeah, my, it's because you're
all my fault.
You are willing to be on a tangent forever.
I am. I will, because, God, we have time to fill. I mean,
so much time.
I really want to get to how I'm pretty sure the 76 Laugh Olympics were rigged.
Pretty sure.
But no, why don't we answer a question?
Okay.
All right. This first letter comes to us from Justin the Mustin Taylor. And he says, dudes, so a while back, you started slamming H.P. Lovecraft for being racist. That's fair enough, although I personally tend to loom past the racism because I find Lovecraft's philosophy of mechanistic materialism so fascinating. Still, he was really fucking racist. However, you've also talked at length about Robert E. Howard, who was just as racist as Lovecraft and never condemned him. So why does Bob Howard get a pass from y'all while you go after H.P.L. so hard? Thanks.
Well, he doesn't really get a pass from us, but the thing with Ron Howard there
yeah,
is...
Ron Howard, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, thing with Ron Howard is I love Arrested Development.
Yeah, I'm giving him a pass entirely because of Arrested Development. I think it's an amazing show, even though there really aren't that many black people on it. I can't even think of one.
Well, there's
oh,
that
wait.
Puppet.
Yeah, there's a puppet. And then there's also, what's his name from Predator, who's in it for like a little while in the third season.
Yeah. Danny Glover.
It's definitely Danny Glover.
Good
I'm
job.
I'm pretty sure.
well, okay, so...
It's the Predator.
Yeah, the Predator
The Predator's
up.
In it for the third season.
Man, if you haven't watched Arrested Development, you got to see that. When the Predator shows up,
oh my
amazing.
Gosh. And then there's that little music sting every time he comes in. Mr. Predator.
God damn it. okay, so Robert E. Howard doesn't really get a pass... So much. I mean, I do know that he is super ridiculous racist.
I actually didn't, so that's my excuse.
And also, you know, there's a whole bunch of weird sexist stuff in his things. I mean, it's the old-timey writer's stuff where it's just, it's not that great.
Yeah.
However, the difference is I can't go to a game store right now and find 27 different board games that are themed around Conan. However, I can get fucking Cthulhu Munchkin and Cthulhu Panic. I can get Cthulhu as a dice game. I can get it as a board game. I can get it as five different horror versions.
Plush slippers of Cthulhu face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I want and have a Nyarlathotep plush in my room.
Yeah, that's the thing about the big difference is that Cthulhu's become this cuddly marketing tool.
Oh, yeah. They've turned the mythos into... just something you slap onto anything. So you take, you know, whatever dumb idea you had. You're like, oh, I had an idea for a collectible card game, and it's kind of bad, and no one would play it. And you're like, oh, yeah, but if you throw, like, some fish people on there and some tentacles, and you say it's Call of Cthulhu the card game, now you're going to get people to buy it. And what that's going to do, in turn, is also get people to go, you know, I've seen a shitload of random Cthulhu stuff. I should maybe read some of his things. And then if you find out that he was like, oh, yeah, black people lay eggs and stuff like that, you're like, well, okay, then.
Yeah, his opinion, like the letters he sent are things like, I wish black people would stop going in the ocean because they're filling it with black people grease. And you're just like, Jesus Christ, man. Wow.
Yeah.
So.
And not just racist, but like weirdly, ignorantly racist.
Like on purpose.
Oh, yeah. It's not like your standard level of racism where you're like, oh, they're lazy or they're dumb or whatever. It's like, oh, yes, they have a fifth leg that they keep in their back and their arms are legs. And you're like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just horrifying. Where Robert E. Howard, I actually haven't read any of his racism, but what I do know is that I can't get a copy of a super rapey role-playing game called Conan Tech.
Although Conan Tech would be an amazing game.
It would be a super amazing game. In the distant future, a group of people have to defend themselves from aliens that are shaped like fat warlords. And so they take up mighty tech swords.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the future, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And so you have wizards that the Conan Tech group goes after and murders.
Right. Okay. So, first of all, we're both on Team Conan Tech. That's a role-playing game that should definitely exist.
Unfortunately, it will be just as awful as Cthulhu Tech.
Yeah, we'll never get, for example, a plush Conan pair of slippers.
No.
So it's a little bit of a like an exposure thing, I think, that brings us to be so mad about Cthulhu. Because
I mean, there is a Conan Munchkin, but then there's a Munchkin for everything. I'm pretty sure there's a System Mastery Munchkin at this point. I wouldn't put it past them.
No one's told us yet, but I'm pretty sure there is one.
Yeah. You show up at a convention, and if they see you, they're just going to make a Munchkin out of you.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to playing Munchkin as the Jeff. That's a good new class that I'm looking forward to trying. Or is it a race?
Yeah. I can't wait until... I need to look up if this has happened. But the two... We market everything and don't care and slap it onto our games. There needs to be a Munchkin Monopoly Munchkin.
That
or
needs
both.
To happen. Munchkin Monopoly and Monopoly Munchkin.
Yes.
And if you buy one, it unlocks powers in the other one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
That is 100% going to happen.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. So anyway, we condemn the racism of Robert E. Howard.
Yes.
But... The big difference is that no one tries to sell me a Conan-themed shot glass and beanie hat when I go to conventions. So I'm it's just lower-level background racism radiation.
Yeah, it's like the racism you get off of a banana.
It's as much racism as you get off a banana. Or a white guy who's a cheerleader. All right, next question.
Did you just say that because we watched Bring It On?
Yeah, it was the first class I could think of with someone, I don't know, who knows? What would you think is a inoffensively not racist person that you could say is the amount of background radiation? Because I need the size of Texas equivalent for background radiation. You know, all meteors are the size of Texas or the size of Manhattan.
Yeah, those depending on if they're going to destroy the planet or just mostly fuck things up.
Yes, and then your other ones are things like hail. Hail is only golf ball or grapefruit. Those are your two options.
You get that softball-sized hail.
Yeah, so I need one for a non-offensively racist person, like just a little racist.
Yeah, you know, like a little white toddler.
A little white toddler, that's perfect. All right, anyway, let's move on. Next question comes to us from Science Skeleton.
Oh, Science Skeleton, what will you teach us today?
Hello, and welcome to my email. The only email that I am currently... Oh, I get it. It's one of our intros.
Oh.
I should do this right then. Hello, and welcome to my email. The only email that I am currently writing, where I send you Obama hate 1d6 forwards from grandma at a time.
Yeah.
There it is. All right, you get it. I'm sorry if this has been asked before. It's easy to lose track. Have either gone to college? If so, what did you major in? Any fun college stories? If not, why didn't you work hard and pay for it yourself, like I did when I was a kid? You went to college when you were a kid? I didn't have any help. You don't need any either, kid. That's the problem with liberals. They always want handouts. Thanks, Obama. Love, Science Skeleton.
Ah, yes.
I added a comma. Can you guess where?
That's the game. Where did I put the comma?
Yeah, we both went to college. John, you majored in English or something.
I did. I went to the UC Santa Cruz, the Fightin' Banana Slugs, with no actual sports teams. Like, our greatest sports team was probably women's volleyball and the mixed, like, ultimate frisbee team or something.
Yeah. So, and you majored in English.
I did. Well, technically there it's literature, not English.
Oh, I'm sorry. Literature.
Yes.
With a minor in my major won't do anything ever.
Yes. Yeah, it was majoring in lit. I almost majored in actual creative writing and then realized, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. And I have a degree in psychology.
Good job.
It matters for nothing.
It doesn't.
Do you have any fun college stories you want to tell people?
Man, I was the worst in college. Like, I was more insufferable in college than I was in high school, which is usually the opposite.
That is usually the opposite.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, no. In college, I was the type of person that would, like, go to class in just a bathrobe and barefoot.
Ugh. You're a horrible... I mean, granted, it's Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah, it's Santa Cruz. I'm only one of, like, 12 people doing that in a class of 15.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Let's see. God, the only thing I remember from college that even matters to me in the slightest is that I dated one of the Charger Girl's little sisters.
Good job.
And so I got invited to a bunch of Charger Girl parties. That was kind of weird.
Huh.
That was an interesting place to be. A party that was... Charger Girls, which, if you don't know, the Charger Girls are, of course, the cheerleader team for the San Diego Chargers.
the soon-to-not-be San Diego Chargers.
Long may they suck and die. Get out of our city. Quit hiring people to stand in front of grocery stores and petition to have you stay. No one wants you here anymore.
So angry about sports.
I'm only angry. No, I'm not angry about sports. I'm angry about local politics. I couldn't give a shit about their playing capability. Quit charging me money to build dumbass stadiums I don't want.
Yeah.
That's, get out. Take your Spanoses and leave. Anyway, when I was like 18, I spent a lot of time at parties for 24 to 28-year-old cheerleaders, and the kind of guys who date 28-year-old famous cheerleaders.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, yeah, with a chainsaw for a hand and a railroad spike through their nose. Good stuff.
Ugh.
Neck tattoos.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But you know what? The beer was good.
I bet.
Yeah.
I'll bet it was.
Yeah. So there you go. Let's see. Was there any other questions in here? Did you work hard and pay for it yourself like I did when I was a kid? I did. Yeah.
Good Lord, no.
Yeah, I did. But then again, I didn't go to a UC school, so I wasn't paying out the nose like John was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did do work there. I worked for the UC in their library.
Yeah, I was a lifeguard through most of college, which is sort of thing you can get away with in California. I was a beach lifeguard for a long time at that period.
Yeah, that is a thing you could get away with.
Yeah. It's a great job. If you're a young kid, you get beach guard. In like 1999, it was paying like $16 to $17 an hour.
Yeah.
It was fine.
No, I didn't get paid crap.
Yeah, of course not. You worked in like a school library or something.
Oh, yeah.
You got paid in sandwich halves.
Yeah, I got paid in like, I got my late fees waived.
Nice. All right. So there you go. Thanks, Obama. And love, Science Skeleton. Next question comes to us from Blake S. And Blake asks, oh, okay, it's about our last episode. I've never read Ringworld. Where should I start?
Oh, okay,
go ahead.
I mean, it's obviously, I think we're both on the same page here.
Yeah, yeah, the right place to start. And, you know, there's a lot of options for where to start reading Ringworld.
But I'm gonna say probably the best is Ringworld by Larry Niven.
Yeah, the Larry Niven 1974 sci-fi novel Ringworld.
Yeah, that's where you want to start reading Ringworld.
Now, I should warn you that there are 4 prequels and 4 sequels to Ringworld, but Ringworld is the first book that came out from the Ringworld series, so really it is the right place to start. It's, you know, when people ask you, where should I start watching Star Wars, you don't tell them The Phantom Menace.
No.
No, you don't. That's not what you do. You tell them to start by watching the holiday special, and then both seasons of the Droids cartoon.
And then just jumping off of a cliff somewhere.
Yeah.
Yelling, I regret nothing.
And that'll teach him to ask you stupid questions.
That'll teach you, everyone knows about Star Wars, do not ask me about Star Wars.
But no, because there are 4 prequels to the Ringworld saga, you're going to want to start with the core novel, Larry Niven's Ringworld, from around 1974.
Yep, yeah. There you go.
Okay, great, thanks. Good question. Next question comes to us from Azza Dahak. And I don't know if that's a real name or not. But anyway, hola, senoritas. Do either of you guys know what cubic splines are? I'm guessing probably not, so why don't you guess wildly about what they might be and why they have such a gross name? Okay, so I know what splines are. Splines are, God, polynomial functions along a line, or along a curve. I don't even know what that means. I just know that that's what they are.
Yeah.
And I don't know what cubic splines are, so you're right.
I assume probably a spline along a three-dimensional axis.
Maybe. I can tell you what splines are named after, which is a curved piece of metal that engineers and draftsmen would use to draw lines, like curved lines for architecture purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, take that, you son of a bitch, asking a question we know the thing is.
No, neither of us knows what the fuck a cubic spline is.
Oh, well, a cubic spline is obviously a tiny little square-shaped armadillo.
It's the primary prey food of the Venderant Nalabirong.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, they're tiny little square armadillos that can roll into smaller squares to attempt futilely to escape from the mighty Venderant Nalabirong.
Yeah, it attempts to confuse their prey because it casts a shadow that is a tesseract.
It can fall into its own shadow and disappear into a shadow and mirror dimension.
There you go. That's a cubic spline for you.
That sounds exactly like a cubic spline.
Exactly like it.
I remember the other weekend, though, I was giving my girlfriend the old cubic spline.
I hate it when guys keep interrupting me in their cubic man-splining.
Cubic man-splining. Yeah, that's the one. That's the joke we were looking for.
There we go.
We had to go through armadillo and sex move to get there, but it's mansplaining.
Yeah, it's cubic mansplaining.
Cubic mansplaining, which is, I believe, when you attempt to explain to women how to draw cubes, and you're just like, well, you draw one square, and then you draw another square behind it, and then you connect to the squares, dummy. God damn it. All right, thank you very much for the question. As an ex-academic, oh, I'm sorry, this comes to us from Seth A. As an ex-academic, I can assure you that an adjunct professor takes so many poverty and debt-related flaws that anyone playing such a character has something like 100 extra points to add to his or her skills. However, none of those points can be used to make him or her more employable, and must instead go towards expertise in a specialty about which no one else cares. No, I'm not bitter. Why do you ask, Seth A? Okay, that's because when we were discussing Ring... Excuse me, now it's in my head. When we were discussing Larry Niven's Discworld.
Ah, yes. Terry Pratchett's Ringworld.
That'd be way better. When we were discussing Discworld, I mentioned adjunct professor is a good class to build with a 50-point character model, like if you wanted to play as someone who worked at Unseen University but was not a wizard.
Yeah.
So this is a letter from a real adjunct professor.
And we're very sorry about that.
No, we're not. 50 points is a great amount of points to give to someone. That's enough to have a skill and be good at something. He's right.
Yeah.
We're very sorry that you're in super debt. I mean, I am also in super debt.
Ah, super debt.
Yeah.
It comes for us all. It's the worst hero.
Super debt's one of my least favorite Cartoon Network late night shows.
Ah, yeah. You watch Tim and Eric and then super debt, and you're like, God, I am not high enough for this.
None of this is funny.
Who thinks this is amusing? God.
Oh, right. Hi, people.
Oh, that's right.
All right, next question comes to us from Leo M. It's actually more of a statement, and this is something from our Patreon feed. And it's a comment I just thought would be fun to read out loud. Pig! I thought the next goal was you guys getting a System Mastery pig. I was so excited. Leo M.
Well, it is. It is the next goal.
Yeah, that is the next goal. At $3,000 per episode.
It is the only goal we have right now.
That's correct. It's the last goal we have. Now, what we are trying to do is expand the definition of that goal. And describe the other things we will do when we reach $3,000 per episode, which
get
we are
little booties.
We are just slightly over 10% of the way there after 2 years of trying.
Yeah, we're gonna get a little hat and a raincoat.
But John's definitely right here. The important point is that at $3,000 per episode, yes, we'll probably quit our jobs and switch to doing like video content and broadcast into a network and bring in other good people and play live games and just do all kinds of amazing stuff. But what's more important than all of that, obviously, is that we get a piggy.
Yeah, there's going to be a little micro pig, and I'm going to make like a little micro slop area for him that he'll get fed in. Oh, man, you guys do not want to miss that.
Oh, dude, I am going to get him trained so that he stands on a tiny skateboard, which I will pull around with a string.
Oh, it's going to be amazing, you guys. Just you wait.
Oh, it's going to be the best. I'm going to teach him to play PlayStation 1.
Good.
Yeah, that's my goal. I'm going to get a little micro piggy, and I'm going to teach him to play PlayStation 1 games.
Yeah.
He'll play so much Tomba or Silphied. It'll be awesome.
And he's going to be named Guinea.
Yeah. Wait, really? No, we're letting the fans pick his name. That's part of the $3,000 challenge.
Oh, yeah, they'll pick his name.
And then they will vote for Guinea.
Yes.
I don't want him to be named Guinea. That's racist when you don't have the word pig behind it.
Yeah, but he will. That's his last name.
His last name is Pig.
And his full first name is Guineas.
See, I'm more on board with Guineas Pig.
Guineas Quality Pig. You just normally say Q, though. Guineas Q Pig. The Q stands for quality.
That's right. That's the full name, and you have to say it like that every
yes.
time. Yeah. Granted, we're going to do a whole bunch of other stuff, too, but at $3,000 an episode, which is the only goal left on the Patreon, we will get a little pig.
A little pig.
Yep. And it'll live with John, because I have cats.
Yeah. It'll just go in my backyard and eat all of, I don't know, the weeds we have.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes to us from Morgan from Oregon. And Morgan asks, hey guys, I've been really enjoying the podcast ever since it was recommended to me by occasional Afterthought correspondent Alex from Texas. Keep up the great work. Oh, okay, that's not a question, but here's a question from him. Here is my question. You are making an RPG based off of some work of fiction. In the style of Ralph Bakshi's Wizards, you are to include completely insignificant things from your source material, complete with stats and abilities, to pad the length of your book. Think of the flock of birds here. What is an example of this, and how do you use this unnecessary content as an integral element in the first published adventure from your system?
Well, the first thing that came to mind was doing like a Star Wars Cloud City thing,
mm-hmm.
where it's just everyone in the background of Cloud City, and they all have their own stats and things. Except I think Star Wars already does that. Like,
yeah.
Anyone that has ever had screen time has a name.
Yeah, they all do. And they all have not only a name, but they're like all secret Jedi or rebels.
No, they all have some story that's like, oh, you saw him in the background running away with a weird orb. That orb is actually some military device that he's trying to smuggle so he can get to the rebels with Murmur Nurmurner.
Yeah, you briefly see in the cantina in Star
also,
Wars.
Also, Murmur Nurmurner is the name of his friend that he goes and travels
with.
You're
so close to right. There's literally a character in the Star Wars Expanded Universe named Amanaman. So you're not wrong. There's also a guy named Elan Sleazebagano.
Wow.
Yeah, I could do this all day.
I think Murmur Nurmurner is definitely one of them Akbars.
Yeah, probably. There's a briefly a shot of a devil-looking guy in the Star Wars, in the cantina in the first one. That character has a full story where he's in love with another character that you see in the cantina briefly, which is a green furry monster with two cone-shaped horns. And it turns out that monster has a knife tongue that she uses to disembowel people she just had sex with.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of that. It just goes on. Like, every character is about to get killed or have an interesting adventure or is secretly an X-Wing pilot.
Yeah, so I can't do that as no. my...
You could get away with it if you were like, all right, here's how this works. It's a gas... It's a, the Bespin Colony RPG, and you play as gas mining administrators, and everything is about the importance of gas mining Tabana gas from the planet that they're floating over, Bespin.
Yeah.
So... It's just an insane amount of detail about how much gas you can extract per day and how much you can sell it for and union regulations.
Yeah, but none of that is the actual background people from that.
No, you're right. That's true.
So, let's see. What do I want to do if I've got something that I'm going to include all the dumb background crap from?
Stat out the students from Indiana Jones, like the opening archaeology sequences.
Oh, yeah. Just have an entire RPG where each student has their own backstory and stats, and then you play as one of those students.
You have to play as one of the students, and you end up going on an adventure.
Or you don't even do an adventure. You just have a final coming up.
Yeah. Or you can. It's just one of the character classes in the game is pointless archaeology student.
No, it's just college student. You're taking archaeology because you heard it was an easy A. The professor is usually not there.
He misses so many classes. And when he shows up, he's usually all beat up.
It's great. He'll ramble on about some civilization and then leave for like 3 months.
Yeah. I'd like to also throw out a Star Trek one, I think. So, like, oh, I play as a guy who owns a bank in Star Trek.
Although, honestly, the random people you see in Star Trek, getting more information on them, because there's always like... 12 people in engineering whenever they go down there, and two of them are the main people, and then the rest of them are just guys walking around.
Normally it's just one of them's the main person. The other one who has lines just gets lines because they're dying this week.
Well, no, like, you go to engineering, it's like, oh, what's happening? Geordi and Data are talking, and in the background, some woman is just zapping a panel with a light brush.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, granted, though, Data doesn't live down there. That's Geordi's house. Data's a bridge officer.
Well, yeah. Data visits.
Yeah, he comes
he's there all the time.
Looking for his cat or whatever.
Yeah, really just he's looking for Spot.
Just really being annoying to the rest of the people on the ship.
He's just walking around with his cat going, you should pet my cat. He is a pretty kitty.
I have studied that humans enjoy petting cats and listening to me make weird, unsettling laughs. Out of all of us, I'm going to be the one who's an Independence Day. All right, so there you go. Thanks so much, Morgan from Oregon. Next question comes to us from Mickey Cheeses.
Yay!
And I said his name the way he said it this time. I'm being nice.
Aww.
Are superhero movies the new professional wrestling? Colorful characters with straightforward motives, resolving problems through uncommonly clean violence, and changing moralities as the needs of the larger narrative demands. That's not a mythology. That's a kayfabe. I have no idea how to pronounce kayfabe.
Kayfabe.
No, is it kayfabe?
I think it's just kayfabe.
It's not kayfabe?
Kayfabe.
Kayfabe.
Jake.
That's a kayfabe. Or maybe not. Mickey Cheeses.
Okay. Thing is, just wrestling is its own mythology. Like, that's what wrestling is just the superhero stories that you'd get from comic books, except it's guys doing it in a ring.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it is.
Heck, there's comic books about wrestling.
Yeah.
There's lots of those, in fact.
No, the whole point of wrestling is to have this weird narrative and people doing physical feats that are like superhuman and crazy shenanigans.
Also,
I think it's not so much that superhero movies are the new wrestling. It's just wrestling is one of the superhero genres.
That's absolutely true. And I also feel like, I know wrestling has existed since like the dawn of time, but I feel like modern wrestling has taken a lot of information from comic books.
Oh yeah. Professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Is very much a like drama and story driven. You need a large character with their own personality that's larger than life. You can't just go out there and be like, hey, I'm Jim Fartingtons, and I like to wrestle. Wrestle real good.
You can do that if you want to be the guy who loses during the warm-up match.
Oh, yeah. You're the guy who shows up at the first match at Raw, and then fucking the Big Show just slams you into the mat, pins you within a minute, and is like, yeah, Big Show.
I remember when I was a kid watching wrestling, that was always a super disappointment to me, was whenever one of the wrestlers was introduced and they just had a name, they were just like, I'm Jack Waters. You're like, oh, you're going to lose.
Oh, man, you are going to get wrecked.
Why didn't you pick a cool name for yourself? I mean, you're going to get kicked. You're going to get your ass kicked by Gold Dust.
Oh, yeah.
And Gold Dust isn't even cool, but he has a name.
Oh, yeah. You come out there and you're like, oh, what are you? I'm Bill Parsons.
Yeah, I'm Bill Parsons. I'm going to wrestle.
And then, you know, Jake the Snake comes out and he's like, hey, come on, man. At least put an animal in your name.
Just something. Even a little bit. Just put Stone Cold in front of that Steve Austin.
Yeah, give me a hacksaw for your Jim Duggins.
A pretty boy for your Floyd.
You know, something. I think the only one who gets away with just being a name is Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, no, pretty much. Also, I think Triple H is that guy's legal name.
Well,
it's T Ripple H, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, T Ripple H.
Yeah.
Man, whenever I go to the Baskin Robbins, I always love to get that T Ripple.
Me too. Also, I think Yokozuna is just a name. Pretty sure. I'm kidding. I know it's actually the title for the top-ranked sumo wrestler, and it was pretty dickish for him to take that name on as his wrestling name.
Oh, yeah, and I'm pretty sure that Papa Shango is also just a name.
No, yeah, almost definitely.
Almost definitely, his first name is Papa.
Don't we know Hulk Hogan's real name, too?
Yeah, it's something else.
It's like Eugene T. Krebs or something. It's just something that sounds deeply unimpressive.
You like Krabby Patties, Mr. Krebs.
No, it's Krebs, the E.
Krabby Patties.
Also, your presentation, that your SpongeBob voice just now, along with what you were saying, made it sound more like you were doing a Hannibal Lecter thing. You like Krabby Patties, Mr. Krebs? I can smell them on you. Wake up in the morning, eat a Krabby Patty, look outside, see the stone mountains. Hear the lambs screaming as they die. That's what you like with a Krabby Patty, isn't it, you bitch?
Excellent.
Anyway, the answer is yes. Yeah, super.
The answer is yes.
Superhero movies are the new professional wrestling, which is the new superhero comic.
Yeah, no, it's...
They inform each other a lot.
Yeah, it's not so much that one is, like, trying to take over as the other. It's really just they are all the same thing.
Yeah. You should really check out the couple of DC Animated Universe episodes where they go to do the Meta Brawl. That's some great shit. You ever seen those?
No.
Oh, man. They have, what's-her-name, Roulette, running, like, this evil underground fighting ring, and... There's a really, really good one where she somehow tricks a bunch of the lady members of the Justice League into being like her professional wrestler team. I think she brainwashes them or something. So it's like Vixen versus Fire, and then they all have to fight Wonder Woman together.
Oh, wonderful.
It's really neat because it looks a lot like good professional wrestling.
Sweet.
Anyway, check that out. It's all very fun. Next question comes to us from Joseph Gerkeman Adams. And Joseph Gerkeman Adams says, Thanks for answering my previous questions. I should have guessed by now you'd give some sarcastic answers first. Here are a few more. If you had to travel everywhere on one of the following two travel methods, would you choose Space Hopper or Toy Trike?
Oh, you're not going to read the other question? We're just going to stop there?
I'm waiting for you to answer that question.
The answer is Toy Trike.
Toy Trike for the win, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what a space hopper is.
I think it's those the bouncy balls that had the circle around them, so it was like Saturn.
That's a pogo ball.
Well, I think they called them several things.
Oh, okay. If we're defining them as pogo balls, okay, instead of answering this guy's question at all, let's abandon it and come up with our own method of dumb 80s children's transportation that would be our favorite to ride around on.
Okay, so...
I'm going to go with a Skip It.
A Bop It.
A Bop. You can't travel around on a Bop It. You can barely travel around on a Skip It.
No, you just the Bop It goes, Bop It. Drive somewhere.
Go to the store.
Get a gallon of milk.
You should go for a walk in the woods. A talking Bop It?
A Bop It? Talking to me?
Let's see. I might go with a roller racer. Remember those? It was a triangular piece of plastic with handlebars on the front. And
oh, my God.
Right?
I do now.
That just came back to you, didn't
it? Oh, Jesus. That came crashing in.
And by wiggling your butt back and forth, you could kind of make them go in some semblance of forward motion.
Kind of, almost.
Yeah. You could also go with a... Oh, God. What are they called? Power wheel. Remember those?
Yeah.
Fucking power wheels?
Pow, pow, power wheel.
I never had
pow,
one.
Power wheel.
I had a little Jeep that had pedals in it.
I didn't have anything.
You didn't have none of this?
Nothing with wheels. I don't know how to ride a bike.
Wow. Wait, are you serious? Like, to this day, you've had nothing, no wheel toys?
No. I never learned how to ride a bike, and I never did, like, skateboarding. I never had a wagon. I never had one of the power wheels. Nothing. Nothing with wheels.
Man, I had all that shit. Man, I used to, I lived in Torrance, California when I was a little kid, and I lived on this street. It was called Zakon Street, which is a crazy name to begin with, but it was a street that was two huge hills and then a little tiny section for houses at the bottom of the hill, and we lived at the bottom of the hill, like me and like eight other kids, and we would invent the dumbest ways to go down these two hills. So I was basically just a human scab until I was like 15.
See, that is what my sisters would do, because... Yeah. When we lived in San Diego when I was younger, we were at the top of a big hill, mm-hmm. and they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to ride our bikes or some dumb thing we put wheels on down the hill, and I would just watch them and go, that looks real dangerous. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go play Nintendo. Bye.
Yeah, I'm lucky I have the face that I do, because I did shit like putting a boogie board on top of two skateboards and then riding that down a hill.
Yeah, no, you had the childhood where it's, What did you do? Oh, I was unsupervised and I probably should be dead.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas mine was, I was unsupervised and then realized that being unsupervised was a bad idea and went home.
I remember a long time ago we were at a Truth or Dare game or something, and someone asked if everyone hit the table had any scars. And I have one scar in my left hand that where I stabbed myself with an X-Acto while I was building a model. And I was like, this is my only scar. And then I remembered, and I felt bad that I didn't have a chance to say it in the Truth or Dare. Oh, no, I have a huge scar on my ball sack because I rode a broken bicycle down a sharp hill made out of ice plant. And I was like, oh, I probably should have told everyone about my ball sack scar.
Probably, but now you've got the chance.
There you go, everyone. By the way, because I've got so many listeners, and I love hearing all about you all, and I just want to take this opportunity to address each and every one of you and tell you about my ball sack scar.
If I could.
I think we finally hit the critical mass of listeners, John, where we can really say the things we've always wanted to a big audience.
Yeah,
so,
finally, I can say what I've always wanted to a huge audience.
Yeah, which of course is...
Nudes, please.
Yeah, nudes, please. Please, please send us nudes. Thank you. And the ticker starts going down. Anyway, let's go to the second question, because Lord knows we're never going to make it back to that one.
Nope.
Do you feel like Pathfinder has any advantages over 3.5, and do you feel it has any disadvantages, or are they basically the same thing in a new cover?
One of the big advantages to Pathfinder is there's a lot of the little specialties that you would have done in the game anyway, like whether it was the wizard class specialty or whether you decided to be a rogue that was specifically about like doing traps or doing like sneaking or whatever, is sort of baked right in when you pick your character. There are a lot of little paths you can go on.
Yeah. I think one of the things about Pathfinder is it has lived so long at this point that they've gotten pretty inventive with class design. So
I mean, some are awful.
Yeah, some of them are terrible. And, of course, there's a big problem with Pathfinder, which is that they never put out, like, Pathfinder 3rd Edition or whatever, and then clean all this nonsense up.
No, they can't because they're stuck on being the 3rd Edition, so they can't just go, well, we've released another new edition of this old edition of D&D.
Well, and they can never invalidate the purchases of previous nerds. So they can never be like, all right, so we know we released this book of martial characters that don't work and don't make any sense, so no one use them. Just no, whoops, our bad, don't use them. So instead, you have to deal with this mighty gestalt of a million things that have come out in Pathfinder over the past 10 years or whatever. And some of them are awesome and some of them are bad. And you just need to know.
Oh, yeah. And then there are some classes where you're like, oh, well, this one's amazing at low level and then just drops off completely at higher levels.
Yeah. I was reading just the other day about a class in that's basically the Batman class. I forget what it's specifically called, but it literally, at odd levels, you get vigilante nighttime superhero powers, and at even levels, you get charming socialite powers.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the sort of thing that they've managed to evolve into, which is cool that they've had so much time to evolve and create these interesting classes that are such a departure from, you know, fighter, thief. But on the other hand, they have a million classes, and it takes a while to dig through the cruft. So there's advantages and disadvantages to it. Granted, I'm going to go ahead and say I've never played Pathfinder. I've just read some of it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Take my advice with a grain of salt. Okay. Next question comes to us from a wicked old woman seeking erotic roleplay soon.
Oh. Well, that's handy.
Uh-huh. Now, just so you know, that's because I'll explain that in just a second. Dear Savage Love, I'm a sex-positive SWF into BDSM. While looking for somebody with which to get into kinky roleplay, I came across a BBM who I thought was DTF. However, every time I flirt, he just starts going on about something called RPGs and D&D. He seems really obsessed with verisimilitude. WTF. Should I continue pursuit or just DTMFA? Also, B&B, R&R, NAACP, and IHOP. So, that's a Savage Love joke. Now, if you don't know from Savage Love, very well written, by the way, if you don't know from Savage Love, that is an advice columnist written by Dan Savage. It's a really, really good sex and relationship advice column with a lot of quirks and issues. He's normally a good writer, but every once in a while he'll stick his foot in his mouth and say something horrible about transgendered or bisexual people or just make big dumb mistakes because he's very opinionated.
Yes.
But he is a great guy. Now, the reason Wicked Old Woman Seeking Erotic Roleplay Soon is funny will be very self-evident to people who are fans of Savage Love.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. Acronyms. Have fun. Now, moving on. Actual question. Try being GGG about this. I mean, you should give him the shot to prove himself through his RPGs and D&D. Always try something once, and if you're not getting your needs met, then you can move on to another game system or find what you were looking for elsewhere. Anything you got, John?
Nope.
Okay, there you go. Just remember to keep being GGG. Next question comes to us from Philippe, age 8.
He needs to get off of that manual for the keyboard.
I don't understand how he got to age 8. He is Philippe, age 5, as far as I'm aware.
And this is from future Philippe.
I know, but he is happy to be your president. As the rudest dudes in town, where do you stand on the issue of going ham? When you go ham, do you go hard as a motherfucker, like Kanye or Jay-Z, or do you kick it like Young Jock and Gucci Mane by going ham, as in short for mayhem? Grammatical inconsistencies notwithstanding, I'm humoring the boy, Cornelius.
Yes.
So, how do you go ham, John?
When I go ham, I go heavy in the paint.
And when I go ham, I go with like a honey glaze. I'm a fan. Ooh. Of, yeah. With some pineapple rings kind of needled to the side of that bad boy.
Now, let me just say, I'm not normally a huge fan of ham.
Yeah.
Like, I like pork products, but ham specifically.
It's like candy meat.
I'm not huge on.
Fair enough.
However, when you get that pineapple on there, ooh, baby, you got a good old meat going.
See, my ham preference is when the ham has been cooked to the point where the outside is straight up crispy. I like that texture difference.
Oh, yeah. When you get that ham and it's crispy, crunchy and peanut buttery.
Nobody better lay a finger on my ham dinner. Let's see. I assume that since John goes hard in the paint and I go with a nice crispy honey glaze finish with some pineapple rings and some cloves kind of stuck in around the edges, we're probably good here.
Probably.
Yeah. Next question comes to us from the illest.
Sorry. You should probably see a doctor.
I know. He's so ill. It's real sad for everybody. Sup, dudes? So there's this talk show host named Brannon House. He's like Alex Jones crossed with Glenn Beck, but also super Christian. Blah.
Wow.
Blah. One game I like to play is that whenever he says something virulently homophobic, I send him an anonymous email saying that he's not fooling anybody, that his desire for insert graphic description of extravagant, over-the-top, made-up gay sex act here. There's no such thing as a made-up gay sex act. is perfectly natural, and that God's gift of sexuality is wonderful, comes in many different forms, and should be cherished. Recently, though, I got to thinking. Clearly, if I was doing this to a high schooler instead of a national talk show host, it would be homophobic cyberbullying. Does the fact that this dude is a monstrous homophobe make mocking him by calling him gay all right, or have I inadvertently been perpetuating the same homo equals bad paradigm that let him get into a national radio audience by being a bigoted asshole? Also, I have a business idea. Ted Cruz goes around the country and lets anyone who pays $10,000 punch him. Please let me know if you would want to get in on the ground floor of this. Thanks. So, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you that it's best to not treat gay or homophobic, bisexual or any words like that, or homo, whatever you want to do, treat them as bad words.
Yeah, the problem with that, I mean, as you addressed, if you're just saying, oh, you know, even when you couch it in the words of being gay isn't an issue and you should be proud of whatever, the way you're giving it is sort of sarcastic in that you're telling him, like, hey, man, you're totally gay and that's why you're doing whatever. And the problem is that is often true. There's a problem with a lot of people where if you see someone who is very anti-drug or anti-gay or anti-whatever, a lot of it can be from their unwillingness to accept something about that in themselves.
Yeah, I don't think that's as common as people like to think it is, that everyone who's being a bully to a gay person is, it's because they are secretly a gay person. A lot of the time, it's just because they're an asshole.
Oh, no. I'm saying your most outspoken ones tend to have some issue with it. Not even so much that it's that they themselves are whatever, but they may have had some encounter involving whatever the thing that they are outspoken against,
yeah,
whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
So in that way, I'd say, you know, sending those messages is just making him be more entrenched into whatever he's thinking anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would be worried about. And I don't want to actualize the usage of gay as a slur. Even if you're using it against someone who is already using gay as a slur, it's not like it's fixing anything. It's just reinforcing for you that it exists as a slur, which is there's no reason for that.
No.
There's plenty of imaginative, horrible things you could call someone. I mean, I like that, going back to the Savage Love thing, I'm sure you've heard of the Savage Love Santorum thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of thing where you can come up with a definitive term for what this guy's name means as a gay sex move or something like that. Just the sort of thing like that where you're not just saying, well, you're gay. That's, I mean, imagine, if you will, what that would look like in like a high school campus. Like, oh, that guy's doing gay stuff. He's totally gay. But you know, by which I mean he is, in fact, probably gay, probably enjoys the company of other men. It's perfectly normal for him to be a homo. It's like, no, don't do that. That doesn't make it better.
No. It's, yeah, so it's one of those things where I would say don't use anything that would be, whether it's your sexuality or, you know, race or religion or anything like that, don't use it as a way to try and put someone down, regardless of how you're using it.
Right.
You know, if you want to say, hey, here's a letter about how being gay actually is a totally natural thing, and it's awesome if you want to do that, but not also have the letter be, and it's because you like dick so much.
Yeah. Maybe send him a picture of your ball sack scar.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you know. All right. Also, let's see. Ted Cruz goes around the country and lets anyone who pays $10,000 punch him. I don't want him
to have any more money, because he would make a lot.
I don't want him to move around the country. I want him to be in one location where we know about it.
Yeah, because as soon as he starts moving around the country and we can't keep track of him anymore, you know, the police are going to start getting those letters again.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's the Zodiac killer.
That's the joke.
That's the joke. I got what you're putting down. All right. So there you go. Good idea, though. I mean, just you probably need to pick someone who's less reprehensible. I mean, you could probably get away with it without even having it be Ted Cruz. You could just get any wax statue, half melted in the microwave, and then drive that around the country and let people punch it for $10,000, and then give that money to charity.
Yeah.
That's a good model.
Yeah, because if you did it with Ted Cruz, he would be getting money, yeah. And I don't want him to have money.
I don't want him to get money. I would prefer that, you know, for example, an acceptable Ted Cruz stand-in gets money, like an evil CGI potato man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone from Food Fight.
Yeah. A condom full of mashed potatoes. That's fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Let's see. I think we've got time for one more. And that's good because there is one more. Dear tri-lettered co-hosts. Oh, it's because of our names. Yeah. Can John maybe use a different bombastic exhortation, perhaps one that is safe for work, to punctuate a poorly written mechanic blocking PCs from doing something in your reviewed games? I find that I get mean looks and have to sit in too many meetings about my attitude and professionalism and continued gainful employment when I try to mic drop a supervisor customer pontiff with a system mastery style eat a dick or so fuck yourself. Thanks for everything. I've said it privately and want on the show now to say it as well. You guys rescue more than your share of Tuesdays and Thursdays from being total burning rotten garbage farts of days. Yours, East Coast Jeff, a.k.a. Inco Corn, a.k.a. Spook-a-Tasty Guy Fieri.
No, never. There's never going to be a point where I don't read a terrible mechanic and tell that mechanic in an anthropomorphized way to eat my dick. I want it to attempt to breathe and inhale only my dick.
God damn it. Headphones. That's the best advice I can give you here. That's how I get through my day. Earbud headphones so that I can listen to horrible podcasts where people curse constantly. I try not to do it as much as John does, but I like to savor when I occasionally drop nasty bombs.
Oh, man. And if you've been in this room where we're podcasting, he drops some nasty bombs, let me tell you.
I've been holding one in for like 2 hours now. It took us forever to record that intro.
You know what? Next time we do a game that is centered towards children, So I have an RPG that is like Mermaid Adventures, That is straight up just like an RPG for little kids where you play mer people.
Yeah.
If we do that one, I will attempt to not swear or anything. I'll go through an entire podcast and be completely safe for work. I will Brian Regan this shit.
Oh, are we going to do like comedians thing? Okay, that's fine. I'll come on board as a different comedian to do the children's game with you. I think I'll go with I'll do Bill Cosby. Does that seem reasonable?
Don't. No. Oh, too soon.
You thought I was going to say Bill Hicks. Well, anyway, that's a great place for us to end an episode.
Yeah. Great. That's wonderful. Thank you.
As always, thank you so much for listening to the Afterthought Podcast. You can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com, where we do release the System Mastery Podcast, where we review old role-playing games. You can also catch our Movie Mastery, where we review old movies. We do a lot of live play episodes these days.
And because of your patronage, we are now able to do movies that are in theaters now.
Yeah, and at last count, the movie for May continues to be Angry Birds.
Yes. Angry Birds.
We are going to go see, probably, unless a bunch of people vote for something else real soon, Angry Birds.
Unless someone wants to be our sweet angels and come and vote for things that aren't Angry Birds.
They will not. They will come and vote for Angry Birds because of the tone of our voices.
That is true.
Which, honestly, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Angry Birds. I've got to be honest with you.
If I'm going to be honest with you, I want to see Angry Birds. In fact, Don't do it, man. Don't vote for something cool like Civil War. Vote for Angry Birds. I would love that. Don't throw me into that briar patch.
And if you think the listeners don't know for sure that we've already seen Civil War, who are you kidding? We saw that within a minute of it coming out.
That's true.
All right, so that did bring up a mention of our Patreon. If you head over there, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us at any amount per episode, you get our bonus content, extra episodes once every 2 weeks.
Also, I got to say, the bonus content for the Discworld, great. Perfect characters.
I liked it a lot. It was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
So go over there and support us on Patreon. You'll notice our next Patreon goal, as mentioned during the show, is a really long way away. That's on purpose. We've kind of run out of time.
Yeah. being employed full-time and doing a crap load of podcasts, Not a lot more we can add.
We're trying. And we are going to try and go to more conventions and get more stuff where we can be out amongst the people and meet all of our listeners and so
meet
on.
Meet all of you peons. Peons. Bless you with our presence.
Oh my God, why? Why?
Perhaps we will deign to look upon you if you give us a peach cobbler.
Anyway, support us on the Patreon. Find us on Twitter, Gmail, or Facebook. All of those are just System Mastery. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good week.